Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. It is launch week of Forsaken, and joining me in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Man, I'm tired.
And Sean
It's
Finn
me.
Again.
I'm back.
Schedules have aligned. We got Sean in the studio to talk about the launch. Actually, on today's show, we're going to do a little bit of a different format. It's going to be a review format. We're just going to talk about everything. Spoiler warning right now, we're going to do our best to be vague about things. But if you want to go in spoiler free, there's your warning. Don't forget, you can watch this first on IGN.com at fireteamchat.ign.com. And then one day later on youtube.com/fireteamchat and all other platforms. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. So let's dig right into it, beginning with the campaign.
Yeah, and we're only spoiling through, call it, you know, the main up to 500. In the campaign. I don't know what comes after in terms of grinding out exotic quests and stuff.
But I was really sensitive about spoilers, so I'm trying to be respectful of other people's things. So, yes, we are going to talk about what happens in the campaign. We're going to talk about what happens after the campaign and the things that happen.
Of course.
So let's just start with the base campaign, the stuff with the cutscenes, the Cade story with Aldrin and Aldrin's sister and such. What did you think of the motivation, the character motivations in that piece? I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Throughout, I'm like, I'm ready to go.
Yep.
I'm ready to kick these kick the crap out of these guys.
Get some monsters.
Let's go. Yeah. What did you think, CJ?
I mean, we were actually playing it live, and I got a chance to see it a little bit in advance. So, I thought it was really emotional leading up to that. It's interesting seeing the dynamics also between Cade and Ikora, or Zavala and Ikora, where you want like Zavala to just be like, okay, let's go. He's like, no. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Let's go. And Ikora Ray's ready to go. So I think that's really cool to see some of those dynamics. Overall, really enjoy it.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Well, we're going around the table here. This has been the story arc that I keep talking about, that I've been waiting for it to come to a close, and I've been wanting Mara to be alive and come back. I'm still not quite clear if she's really out there in the Dreaming City. Tough to say.
Right.
It's still tough to say where I'm at unless something else still happens, but I have completed. Anyway, I really liked the story arcs. I have spoken to her, Destin, if you're wondering.
Okay.
It is the Dreaming City.
So that's the thing.
But he's not that far.
So we're not at the Dreaming City yet. We're at the moment where we're about to open the Dreaming City. Yeah. So have you opened the Dreaming City?
We're doing a spoiler show, I thought.
Doing a spoiler show, but Sean isn't
it's
that
not
far
like,
yet. I know he hasn't.
It's not like I've ever spoiled anything.
Oh, there's the Avengers.
The revenge happened.
My comment really was so confusing, by the way, that trust me.
Honestly, I didn't even
pick
up on it.
Trust me.
But it's fine.
Yeah, you won't. It doesn't even make sense.
I'm honestly not even really
for the sake of the show. We're doing a spoiler show up until
revenge
before you go to the Dreaming
Fran,
City.
I was just laughing because I know where Sean is in the game.
I mean, it's fun.
And it was funny to me.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Sean, if I spoiled anything for you.
Honestly, I kind of already forgot what you were talking about.
It's confusing. But
let's just focus on it for the next 5 to 10 minutes.
But I mean, I did want to be clear, so we're not talking about the Dreaming City, is what you're saying.
No, we are.
You can talk about whatever
you want. I just
want
to know your impressions of the campaign. You're good.
Hey,
I'm just laughing.
You're the host. I'm just responding. So anyway, really like the character development. Loved Aldrin as a character throughout his evolution, and it just all really came together. Everyone can understand it as well as what I really like about this story. It's not confusing. A little.
There's some.
Meaning you can follow it to the point that this dude's dead, this dude did it, I'm going to go get him, and these 8 or 5 people helped.
Yeah.
It came together really nice. A lot of awesome cinematic scenes.
Yes. Okay, Sean, you're not all the way through the Dreaming City yet, but yeah, what do you think
still,
about the point
I'm like on
that
the
you're
last
at?
Part of opening the Dreaming City yeah. quest line, yeah. I think.
The key to the city. Yeah,
the semi-charged talisman or whatever mm-hmm. it is. Yeah. Anyway.
So what do you think about your experience thus far?
So far, I like it a lot. There's a lot of really positive stuff going on in terms of the quality of life. I thought the campaign was pretty good overall. I did have some issues with it that I think are probably just up to my own expectations being distorted about what should we. I always yeah. come on the show wanting a big narrative oriented character driven campaign, and I think like the reason I'm always somewhat disappointed is because I always have that expectation and it never quite delivers. So maybe that's not Bungie's fault.
You didn't feel like it was there this time?
Well, like I said, I think what the campaign does really well is it does establish up front for new players and older players alike, like, this is the arc. This is a revenge tale. Yeah. Right? That's what this is. Like, let's not sugarcoat it. And I thought that was cool. It has this kind of, and it fits in with this whole Western vibe,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like
yep.
this idea, that's a very Western theme. Like
yeah.
this guy wronged you or your family. You're just going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool, right? Me and CJ talked a little bit about this off camera yesterday, but I do feel like that moment's kind of robbed in the very last mission when you don't actually confront Uldren and fight him.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, spoiler alert, he gets eaten by this weird gobbledygooky servitor tentacles yeah. thing.
You wanted a boss fight where Uldren was teleporting around or something?
Well, I wanted to fight Uldren. Like, I don't know if it's I'm fighting Uldren because I know technically he's not a guardian, so that he might not have the same powers, but it's clearly powerful enough to have taken down Cates. I just was expecting a showdown with Uldren, and the fact that you don't really fight Uldren.
I get that.
Like, I felt like a little robbed by that moment. But overall, like, I think the campaign was fun. I thought there were some really interesting missions, like the adventures where you fight the Barons. Mm-hmm. I found the Rider to be really cool. Like,
yes,
I've many times on this show have been like, more vehicle missions. Right?
yeah.
There's a whole Riders one that's you. Just vehicles. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I found the Hangman one where he's like, he has this range sort of slam and it does damage to you even if you're in melee range or if you're far away, and he's fast. I was just talking about this on the last episode, maybe like 2 months ago at this point.
Oh, wait, I want to say something, and we only have 10 minutes per segment. Sort of, you really liked each of the Barons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so what was your favorite piece? What was your favorite piece of the whole thing?
Of the Barons or the whole campaign?
The whole campaign. Sorry to cut you off.
Probably the final encounter with, I forget who he is, the final Baron.
Yeah.
The one who you don't fight as part of the adventures, but right before you enter the Dreaming City.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That whole mechanic where he like portals you up and you're tethered and you have to like destroy his shield before you get to him type stuff. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. To bounce off of what you're saying about the Barons, we all realize that those are adventures that have now been interwoven with the campaign. And I really like that because before those adventures, we would just kind of have them as an option, and they didn't really help you power level wise or anything. Now they're kind of interwoven. And in addition, I think we all really, really liked the strike mission that we got to play. You and I, Sean, were talking about that before, and that's, I want to get to that too.
Yeah.
That was awesome. The train's going by, and then like there's a really nostalgic moment.
Have you done this yet? Have you done this?
I did the Taken strike.
So there's
there's
a new strike in. What's it called? The Tangled Shore.
It,
It's called Warden of Nothing.
Yes. Mm. Okay. So Fran
now
hasn't
we don't want to spoil it for you.
I know. Yeah. We don't want to spoil it for Fran. There's some really powerful nostalgic moments.
See, there's strike spoilers.
Without overhyping it, this might be one of the best strikes ever.
I think so.
It's like really cool.
Yeah.
The mechanics are great. It does something really new.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic in just the right way, but also not nostalgic because they just ported over content, but nostalgic because it's still new, but also old at the same time.
Yeah, it's got
very cool.
I heard a little something about it. I haven't checked it out.
Yeah.
I can't, you know,
you'll
so
love
much
it.
To do. I can't wait
you
to
will love
really.
It.
If I can do it,
you
as
will,
my daily strike,
you will love it.
Power Engram.
Brand's
going to
really like it. And, and like, there's so many of these moments where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it's that thing.
Can we talk about the real moment of the campaign, though, which is Cade's death? We played the first mission, all of us, a bunch of times before the game came out.
Yes.
Parts of it.
Yeah, but that's what's interesting is a lot of the sort of emotional impact is removed because, for one, there's no cutscenes in the demos that we play at E3 or Gamescom and stuff, like, except for maybe setup stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all of the stuff with you actually infiltrating the prison and that moment with Cade dropping the whatever.
Like, yeah.
That moment is so cool. The rodeo moment.
He's right.
It cuts back to Petra and she's
like,
the
slow mo.
Yeah.
Such a great Cade moment.
So there's him being cool and then there's his actual death, which you're talking about. And none of us saw, I didn't see that coming, and I actually
actually was surprised by the emotional response I had.
Well, I know.
Like
I actually didn't see felt coming.
Emotions?
No,
it was just strange.
That, yeah, it, was like, it would be that emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I
said the same thing too. Now, I saw it actually at Bungie, and I'm glad I was there when I witnessed it because I don't like doing these things on stream. I already knew what was coming, and you didn't. You're just like looking at me, and you're like, oh my gosh. And you see the light like go out of his eyes.
Yeah.
And you
know that's when that's you're like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah. Wow. That's the moment.
I've said this before, again, off camera to CJ, but I didn't really think Cade was dead.
Yeah.
Even then, when he like powers down for the final time and he like mutter, like he kind of like trails off. I was like, how is he going to come back? Right. It's the scene where Ikora and the Guardian and Zavala are all there and his body's laying there and he's covered and she like touches him. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I think he might be dead.
For real.
So who do they kill next? Zavala or Ikora?
Dude,
so
everybody wants Zavala.
It was really emotional, his death, but I felt a great amount of emotion when Ikora is really sitting there like, will storm
she brought it home.
The real. Yeah. Because, I mean, shout out to Gina Torres. Gina Torres, who voice acts that character.
Petra. Yeah.
No, not Petra.
No, Ikora.
Ikora, sorry.
Yeah, shout out to her. She's an amazing actor. I love Firefly too, so that's also a huge thing. She really, like, I felt at that moment when she's saying that, I felt her rage, and I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, we got to go get this guy. Like, and I'm a Titan, so I love Zavala, but I'm like, Zavala, dude, you got to get out of here, man.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Well, and it was intentionally weighted that way. They want you to be mad at Zavala, that he's just going to stand
ground. I get it, you know. But
a lot of people were. They're like, screw him.
Yeah.
It's for Cade. What are you talking about? And he's like, we kind of got a tower to worry about. You guys not remember, like, a year ago? Yeah. Like, we got messed up. I think we should maybe keep our eyes open.
But even philosophically, I kind of like – I like that Zavala is like, Guardians don't take revenge. Like, I think that's cool. Yeah. It's the Jedi way. Right?
Well, yeah. So let's talk about that moment really quickly at the ending as well. I thought it was very Inception-esque where you're just like, okay, you know, you have this moment now where, you expected Aldrin to be very powerful. And now he's like kneeling before you like
on his back.
On his back.
Confused.
He's like almost.
Oh, he's stripped of.
Yeah, he's stripped of his powers like or what happened like when he was taken there.
Exactly.
And you're like, I don't feel guilty for maybe doing this because you killed Cade. But are we gonna go through with this?
And
you do have that moment of reservation.
I was like, are they gonna do
it?
I know.
That's
do
really
I get to choose if we do it?
Yeah, I was hoping we did. By the way, you were standing there with two guns in the room, and I thought they were gonna maybe allow you just to decide.
I was just about to say, like, again, off camera, me and CJ were talking about this. I thought there was gonna be a Metal Gear Solid 3 moment where like you're standing over the boss and you decide it transitions. I don't know if you guys have played that game, but it transitions from cutscene to gameplay seamlessly, and the player, when I first played it, you're standing there like waiting for something to happen, and nothing happens, and you're like, so you move the sticks, and you're like, oh, I'm playing, and you get to choose what
happens. That would be really, like a close-up of the gun, and it just seamlessly goes to it.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Like, I thought that would, and you would get to choose what happens. Like, are you a Guardian who takes revenge, or are you a Guardian who takes, like, the Jedi way? Now, what's interesting is, you have an interesting theory about why they didn't do that.
Well, yeah, in some ways, I think it's the same way with the actual battle. Like, I agree with Sean. I wanted to fight Aldrin, and I was hoping it was the opposite of Gaul. It's like, I felt that I wanted to fight Gaul in, like, his, he's about to explode. Oh, and now he's dead. I wanted to fight Aldrin just before, like, he turned servitor.
Yeah.
I wanted to fight him as a human. And I don't know if it is maybe the T14 thing. Like, you never see a human get killed in the game.
Shot off camera,
shot in the darkness, shot when it cuts to black. So I don't know if that's intentional or if it's one of those things where it's just, would that affect the rating of the game if you're actually shooting a human form character? Because I did. I wanted to see Aldrin in his powers because the whole time we're thinking he's a super powerful dude.
Mm-hmm.
Now when we're killing him, he's like weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, he's like a weakling, and I felt that was a little bit odd. So, and even at the end, I was like, I want to kill him because he killed Cade. But I want this to be a battle, like in Destiny. I want there to be a challenge. I'm gonna pull a trigger and he's laying on his back.
Well, wait, there is still a raid coming around the corner.
Exactly.
He was infected with darkness, so maybe there's like some other form with him.
But he's dead, right?
I'm glad they elaborated. Well, we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
We thought Mara Saab was dead too.
Yeah, they talk. Right. They do talk about it. Yes, in the after scene.
There's some other lore. There's some other lore, yes, that even I'm aware of, I think, that explains it a little bit better. And so I'm excited for the Dreaming City because I don't think that this is the end. I think there's more raid stuff coming up.
I don't think the raiding is affected by the type of enemy. It's how that how you do it.
Yeah.
So I shoot him in the leg and he bleeds the actor. Like if he was a Taken Aldrin and you're shooting him with all these fake points, I don't think it matters.
My counterpoint was like you shoot human people in PvP all the time.
We're getting hung up on the Death of Kate. I do want to talk about some other systems. So let's transition to Tangled Shore. Oh my god.
Dreaming City.
Yeah. And the area where you fight by the well.
Mm-hmm.
What's
it
called?
Blind Well.
Yeah, that's right. I knew CJ would know. Anyway, I like the Blind Well a lot. It's really fun to hop in when people pop in your tokens. It's a lot.
I didn't go to the Blind Well yet.
It's a lot like Court of Oryx. It's a high level activity.
People were talking about it. And I just got there last night.
The rewards for Tier 1 and Tier 2 are a little lacking. That is how you get your second character power, though.
Yeah.
I really, really like the experience. It's really fun to hop in there with people. It's challenging enough.
Second character power?
To keep it going. The seed?
Yeah.
Yeah, the seeds, mm-hmm. in doing it again. Yeah,
you get your seed for your other.
Oh, okay, for the other stuff.
So,
I thought there was yet another new.
No.
I really like it. A little underwhelmed by the rewards. That's the only thing that I will say. But there are some weekly bounties tied to completing that, and I had a lot of fun with it. What do you guys think? The Dreaming City, the well. I didn't go there
last night.
So, Siege, you tried it out?
I did. I got a chance to do it again at the preview event. And it is one of those things where I like that I think it brings us what we were talking about, the water cooler moments of Destiny back, where you're not sure what's happening. You're all kind of doing this thing together. You're figuring it out. It's a little of Court of Oryx. It's a little Prison Elders. It kind of has this, it's off the beaten trail, so you have to go to it. So you're there to do that activity. Mm-hmm. I think with Escalation Protocol, it's in the world of Mars, so there's a bunch of random people. Like, if you go there to the Blind Well, you're doing that activity because you kind of get forced into doing it.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it, but there's some things that are, it's well done. And I think, the rewards is the part
well
of
well done.
Oh, there you go.
Stick with that.
There's still the issue of queuing in and out to get a team.
Yes.
That's unfortunate because we've said pretty loudly as a community with Escalation Protocol, we want to do these together in groups of nine.
Right.
Just let us just facilitate that.
And I think that there's probably some, again, technical challenges to how many you can do in that environment. And I'm always wondering those parameters because the game
as
of
a
itself,
selfish
like,
player, though, I just
you
want play
that with nine players. Yeah. And I totally get that. But we're all playing it even on PC. And I'm wondering, like, on PS4, have you done it much yet? Like,
no.
The worlds and what they're able to accomplish, like, the scale of them are amazing. Massive, and I just keep wondering, like, are they pushing that like next gen like hardware boundary in a way? Because it is a really great looking game in the mechanics. But
you like the gameplay though of the well.
But to get it's super cool. I think that there's going to be things that, and maybe I don't know what's coming in the Dreaming City. Like, I think this will be maybe an evolution part. There could be different things that come to the well, maybe on like a weekly basis or like a monthly basis. That could change it up.
We do know the Dreaming City is going to change. They kind of tease that in their Vidocs. So it sounds like only CJ and I have played that. Let's talk about Gambit, something that we have all experienced. I think I played Gambit for like 6 hours yesterday.
Oh, dude.
We had a really great team.
Yep.
Me, Illegal McCadley, and Gamma joined us for a bit, and we were just doing it with blueberries for a while. But we hit that tier 5, and we were just ranking up like crazy.
Yep.
And every 3 ranks, you get a powerful engram. So we're like, let's just keep going. Yep. And man, when
you get a
really
power every 3 ranks?
Yeah, so like every time you go from like Brave the Fabled, for example, you're going to get a powerful engram.
Nice.
Yeah, same with PvP and with the Vanguard.
Right. Yeah, because that's right. I got a power drop from... Quick. From
no, it's just PvP and Gambit.
I mean, I think regular. Yeah, I got whatever the case. Yeah, there's so many sources of power. I'm trying to keep track of it, right?
Yeah, like, which is nice.
It's great. It's great.
It's really good.
So anyway, you played.
And then you got your dailies and your weeklies also, but we won't talk about the investment systems too much. They're great. Yeah. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But Gambit, I love it. I'm really happy with the full release. It's really, really fun
to
play.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a coordinated team. What have you guys thought about the full release version of Gambit?
I mean, so now I've only played three maps, and I've heard there's a fourth, so I don't know if that one's coming in the rotation. A little bit later, it might be, because I mean,
I have to think about it, but I'm pretty sure I've played a lot of games.
Yeah, and so I will say that for me, I think the best way to describe it is it's kind of like this a mini raid in a way, where it's like it's taking like a raid encounter and then making it a PvP versus PvE environment. And every single person that you have on your team will gravitate towards something that they enjoy. And then once you get playing with a certain set of people long enough, you just know what they're going to do. That part of it's awesome because I don't remember a PvP or PvE kind of activity where you feel that you can like have a player lean in with their strengths and then you want them to do that. Like Steb, he's a gunner. He's the invasion guy. Like, you just know it. Teddy, he likes to freaking bank moats and kill monsters, and he's usually a warlock, so he freaking, like, rains down super, collects moats. And so it's super cool, and, yeah, I mean, it plays amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really, really good playing game.
Well, like, we came up with a strategy where it's like, all right, McCadley gets 5, illegal gets 10, and then illegal cap out at 15.
Yep,
right. Send in that small blocker. I'm not gathering any if I accidentally have to because one was missed. I get 5 and throw a small blocker.
Yep.
And then we just keep doing that. The PvP guys are the ones that invade, and it's just really, really cool having, like, once you start gelling and you have your plan in place, you just go, and it's really, really fun.
Which is – sorry. This is how I think it should be, which is like I played with a friend who's new to the game yesterday, and we got steamrolled, although we were doing our best.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it should be, which is like teams with good coordination, with good strategies who are more efficient. That's what this game is about, right?
Yeah.
Like how fast, how quickly can you kill those things?
The loadouts, everything.
Yeah. How like, I love that it brings up a stat sheet at the end. Like, here's how many modes you collected. Here's how much you healed the primeval if you died a lot. Or how
many
modes
you lost.
How many enemies you defeated. Like, that tells people performance. And I think that tells the story of this mode. It's really cool, and I like it a lot. Because even if I was on the losing end the last couple of days, I think if your team sucks, you should lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can do better next time.
It's what Sean always talks about, actually. He says, like, you need to get better. And, like, this is a skill-based game, skill-based mode, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the mix a lot. It's the first time I've just been locked in a mode in Destiny for a long time, and I'm like, I know I have all this other stuff I should be doing, but I just want to do this.
Playing.
Yeah. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to do one more.
That's what I said. I tweeted that out, that last one. Like, when have you felt that in Destiny too much, where you're like, last one, and you can do that for, like, an hour?
It's also it's also very strategic all throughout the match, right? Like, that first couple of – like, that first minute or so
–
both teams are just trying to bank as many modes as they can, right? But, like, if the other team – you're also really reacting to what the other team does. Like, I remember they sent 2 blockers at once, right? And I was like, dude, we got to get the – we had all these modes. And I was like, someone get on the blockers now so that we can bring these modes back. Because the more time your bank is down, the further they're getting ahead.
Well, right? and then you risk the invader coming in and killing you all if you don't bank.
You don't
right
want to bank.
So.
You don't want to bank stuff for too long.
You can also time when you bank and then invade.
Exactly. Like, all of it's very strategic. And when you line up all of those things, like, you deposit a bunch of motes, send a bunch of blockers, and then you send an invader as well.
Oh, hey, they got a lot of motes they're holding on to. Block,
you could put some progress. Dylan. You could really dampen their progress for a while. And then also, there's a lot of really tense moments where, like, we're just a little bit behind, right? Like, and it's like, the enemy team has summoned their primeval. And I was like, get those motes in, get those motes in. And then it's like, you've summoned your primeval. And then, like, you're watching both health
bars
go down, and you're like, more dips. Yeah, like,
that's
a lot of fun.
That's
melting.
Yeah. It's when I don't know how many matches I've had where with your primeval's your death heals primeval, the primeval slayer buff is up, you can have a full bar and somebody can be halfway, and then you just go, and you win the match, and you're like, no way.
Yeah.
It feels so crazy. That's happened to me so many times.
Brian, you've been pretty quiet about Gambit. What are your
you guys have a lot to say. No, I mean, I think we're all aligned. We liked Gambit before. We still like it. It's, you know, come to fruition. I want to play more maps. I played a decent amount last night, and it's a lot of fun. That's what, we were talking about before. For me, it was that nice blend of, it feels like they took a little raid encounter, a little Nightfall. They took the elements of PvP and almost seems like a crazy lab experiment. Yeah. And maybe it wouldn't work, but actually it's kind of a simple idea that really worked out well is what I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, you can just get out there and shoot enemies, and I think that's why it's so relatable. Like, you're not in a PvP match, but you are.
I think it was Lars who said something interesting, but when we asked him, like, where the idea came from, he was like, well, I think it was him who said this. But he just said, like, the team brainstormed, like, what are the most fun parts of Destiny, right? Yeah. Like, shooting mobs, shooting guardians. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why don't we just
put all that into
one, and that's exactly what it is, and it's really cool.
All right, so I'm going to talk about a few of my favorite things with the last few minutes that we have on the show. I love that there's something to do every day. There are daily quests.
Yeah.
That is back. I love that bounties are back.
Yep.
It's great that you have your collections. You can go see where you're at with those armor sets that you need for those quests.
Yep.
Little tricky to get some of those. What happened to the vendors being able to buy the set? Like, okay, if I turn in 20 engrams, let me just buy the legs that I need.
Right.
You know, yeah, you're trying to get a full set to do the bounty, right?
Yeah. So that was a little like, come on, 40 arms?
It might be withholding it for now, though, right?
Yeah, I'm
there's not a lot of vendor items, you're right.
Yeah.
It feels empty almost.
I think I turned in 500 Crucible tokens, and I got like 30 sidearms and like
sidearms, swords.
And yeah, it's just,
the loot pool's a little shallow, it seems, right now.
At the moment, yeah. But lore in game was an unexpected great thing.
The UI.
And the UI adjustments. Yeah, collections, lore, the triumphs. There's some weird triumphs, though, like own the collector's edition of the game. I was like, what the hell is this?
But I don't think it offers any points. No. It's just there.
I got one that was like Paul Destin during his Twitch stream. Yell at him loudly.
Yeah. There's a few that are a little weird. But otherwise, yeah, man, it does so much really well.
Yeah, they really cleaned it up.
They basically, and also all of these things are in the base game. I'm looking at Mark Medina, who doesn't own Forsaken right now. His game, he has his dailies, he has the strikes that he can do.
Yeah.
So this update, because they had to update the sandbox, has improved the base experience of Destiny 2 for the most part.
If you don't own it, you're saying there's dailies and weeklies?
There's still dailies for powerful engrams. You can still do the weeklies. You can still do all the Crucible bounties and the bounties from the Vanguard.
If you're not 400 yet or whatever. It sounds like that's
no,
the
if you
to
don't
400.
Own Forsaken.
You just don't go Tangled Shore.
No, that's what I'm saying. But can't you only go to 400?
I don't know what the light...
I think the light level's only with Forsaken, but I don't know, actually.
To expand, you need to buy Forsaken.
Right, of course. But anyway, I didn't think about that aspect. That's a really good one.
Yeah,
so players out there who may not have the money or be into it yet, they still are getting more content right now.
Yep. Yeah, Bungie actually covered off on the light level thing. I do believe you need to buy Forsaken. I'd have to look it
pretty
up.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Not in front of me.
Because you got to get new levels to achieve that, and they're only through Forsaken's path.
Yeah, so anyway, that's some of my favorite stuff. Is there anything any of you guys really love that you want to talk
about? I feel like we could go on and on about all the stuff we love. I would actually pose the question, what is it that they haven't fixed yet that we've been talking about? Because it's like the lore we wanted in the game. Yeah. I would say Grimoire is not in there, right? The cards aren't exist.
Yes, they are.
There's cards.
Yeah. If you click into the lore tab or any of the triumphs tab, if
they have
any
art?
Of those combination, not art, but that's I mean, like there's art. Though? It's like a little banner.
There's art, friend. There's art and a story.
And a story,
yeah,
right?
Next
maybe
e,
I don't find
out.
The art as impressive or something as it used to be. It might be imagining. But anyway,
you hear that, everybody?
I don't know. I went in there, just a wall.
I like it.
I think in my mind, I really liked Grimoire cards. And I was waiting to see if they'd bring them back. I guess they brought
them
back.
Here's the thing in your menu. Did you like that they were on Bungie.net? Because they're not anymore.
No, I don't. What I'm saying is they have put a ton of that in the game. I guess they've put the equivalent of Grimoire in all
of this. Any piece of gear,
I've read this stuff on stream. I guess I'm not seeing the art for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I always look at the book cover, and then when I go in, I don't remember seeing this is the whatever. Yeah. Maybe what it is there's so much lore. I've gone into stuff that doesn't contain
art for sure.
Let's not go too far off that. What I was getting at is what haven't they fixed? Maybe they fixed the vault. And so what's out there that needs to be fixed?
I actually wrote patrols down because patrols are still the same. Go stand in a place and don't do anything. Then I got to the Dreaming City.
Are they different in the Dreaming City?
They're different how they're delivered. And I'm like, are they addressing patrols?
That's cool.
Maybe they couldn't do it with that sandbox.
Are the
but
patrols
like,
still the
Dreaming
same?
Dreaming City, we're going
to
fix it.
Because I saw how they get delivered.
You talk to an NPC, and then they go have you do a combat thing, and they're like, it's a contest between so-and-so. But like,
so the patrols are different on Dreaming
City. The narrative delivery, and they're called missions or something.
Or maybe it's
like
pursuit or
patrol
something.
Patrol missions. I don't know. Cool. Like, the fact that you actually go talk to a person and it's not just a radio person chiming in.
Yeah.
And there's stuff going on in the Dreaming City. Sorry.
No,
just talking about how much I like
the game. But that's the point. There's a lot. I was just really trying to illustrate.
Yeah.
There's so much that's been cleaned up, polished,
fixed
even. And it's actually – you struggle with – we're still getting to the point where maybe – okay, the loot pool is a little shallow. I think that's one of them.
Good point. Loot pool's shallow, and like the fact that you can't just buy your set seems odd to me. I almost wonder if I missed a Bungie update where they're like, oh, that's going to come in week two.
Yeah, I feel like I really would assume they did it because there's a little mystique to what the set's going to be.
You can see it in your collection though.
Oh, that's true. You can just see it in the collection.
So I'm like, I need those boots. No mystery. That's
and you
what
can't
I
just
need.
Buy it out of your collection.
Nope.
Leveling up.
Because you need
interesting.
To get it
first. Yeah. But there's not that much that I'd say we have to gripe about right
no.
now. I love
no.
the pace of it. I know
there's
we don't...
some. I thought there's an exotic in PvP that is broken. There's a Titan Arms that if you go
beyond the Ace of Spades,
if you go Defender yeah. class and you block incoming damage, you can literally pop it 4 times in a row.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I'm like, that needs to be fixed.
See, I'm excited about all these things because Steven grinded out Ace of Spades. I'm halfway through it. And then just looking, he's like, yeah, dude, you get like 6 luck in the chamber shots. I was like, you do? And then,
what?
Yeah, exactly. And then the way it reloads, it's got a combination of like Rampage mm-hmm. and like Thing. The animation of it yeah. reloading.
It was always my pick for.
The, oh yeah, my God.
It's so good. It's so good.
Random rolls
yeah.
are back and they're fantastic.
They're great. I know.
Keep random great. Rolls.
They're
Why
really
did
good.
You ever get rid of this? Every piece of gear I'm inspecting.
There's,
it.
I know,
and
it's
I'm
amazing
trying
that
to figure
you just
out, oh, do I want auto this? Da-da-da.
It's a little, it's
My
a little taxing,
full.
But it's rewarding.
My vault's full, but I like that infusion costs glimmer as opposed to materials if it's the same piece.
So there's something.
One yeah. thing I don't like
the
is
infusion the system.
Infusion materials.
It is a real throttle. You can't just do it anymore. Yes. You have to yeah. farm some resources or buy them.
But the spider offering like those resources
yeah.
for glimmer, I think is good.
Well,
but
not
it's
always
not
you
for glimmer.
Switch.
Yeah, yeah, it's not always. For
no, it
glimmer.
Is. It rotates.
Yeah, that's the point though. But you can't count on it.
Yeah,
so
but
hold
it's
up, Sean. You
a
don't
masterwork. You can't buy for glimmer.
Right. Sean does not like the infusion well, system. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it forces you to make a decision about what you're infusing up
yes.
and when, and you can't just arbitrarily
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
why? I want to hear from Sean why he doesn't yeah. like it.
So I just think it's kind of a retro idea to go back to the idea that we are now looking in the world to farm resources. Like that's so like even in D1 they got rid of that.
Yeah.
You know, like the idea of like. Now I got to go collect my
all came down.
Spin metal.
Yeah,
spin
I
thought
metal.
The
I was
same
trying
thing.
To think of one of the old
the
ones.
Foil.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought the same thing. Counterpoint and encourages you to go back to old locations, pick up the bounties. You get 10 per bounty just for doing it.
Right.
I know. And like I said, I
so
like
there's
that.
Multiple avenues, and including looting the chests for doing public events, for
yes.
doing stuff in the old territories. It encourages you to
you
also utilize the old.
Do that after we've been playing it for a month or two. So I would actually agree. I would hope that presumably because that's it. It can work in the beginning for a while, but you get to a point you're like, I really don't want to go back and do that. And
I mean, like,
hope,
yeah,
I would
it
agree
just seemed
if
like
that's what it becomes.
Yeah,
like I don't mind doing it now because I've barely been to these things.
Well, because I'm glimmer capped, so the first couple times I've needed to
right.
infuse stuff, I've just spent glimmer to buy the resources
yeah.
from the spider and then
yeah.
use those
yeah,
to infuse, and that's fine, right? It actually solves a problem, which is that like everyone
you're
always complains about. Yeah, you're using your glimmer for something,
yeah.
and now we actually need to make sure we have enough of it. That's fine. But like
we got to wrap. The last point. Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, no worries. I just think that that's one thing that they might be able to improve on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good note, and it has been a little controversial in the community. Thank you, everybody on the panel, for joining
yeah.
me today.
Can I just say, I hope
and
the
I want
next
to
show we get
too.
To talk about the actual gameplay design and the combat.
Yes.
We talk so much about the story, which I love, but I feel like it's always such a focus of the first thing we talk about with the campaign. I like to talk about the gameplay, and I have a lot to say. So
yeah.
hopefully
really?
The show.
More than
yeah,
already?
Yeah, we skipped over. We didn't really talk about it. They awesome improvement.
Short story.
For the way that
it's
the gameplay
great, but it's always been
is
great.
Improved. But,
well,
but that's
the two so primaries.
Hopefully
yeah,
next show we'll cover
thing.
It. Yeah. But I just want to give props. Yeah. The combat design, oh, it is markedly changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's great. So much in there that I love to talk about in the next
yeah.
show.
Yeah, yeah. Got it.
Mindbender, I will say, I thought that was one of the coolest, like, freaking bosses of all time. Even, like, going back to that Dreadnought-style theme. The way it was out there, little details like you pull out your ghost, you see your ghost moving in the wind. I don't know if you noticed that, but if you go there, just the attention to detail
Tripping.
Is so. I know, but there's so many like amazing things. It's really, really good.
Yeah,
The game I love is back, and it's better than I've ever could have imagined.
Than you thought it was gonna be.
Yeah,
it
like
really
I went
good.
In just trying to temper my expectations, and I am so happy with the state of Destiny.
When can we expect to see your review? Do you know yet?
I'm writing the review after the recording of this episode, passing it off to Dan, and then we're going to wait to do the final score until after I play the raid.
Yep.
Which, when's the raid?
September raid is 14th. Next week, Friday.
Yeah,
10 a.m.
Yeah, I'll be streaming it all day until we finish
it. I took that day off.
Yep. All right, guys, that is everything for this episode. So
what do we do here again?
Until next time. So until next time,
Guardians out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I talk to the spirit about it?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
I need you to save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.